Welcome back. This is Anthony, and I am your host of the Orange and Blueprint podcast, and there is an apology that's owed to you listeners out there, because I haven't been able to process, like I like to do, each and every event that has occurred under these orange and blue skies, and it's a running theme with the Knicks. Like, there's always something going on, always something. And what I like to do is try to give a moment to not only absorb the information, the event that happens, but also try and navigate the tumultuous waters of all of the, for lack of a better term, bullshittery around the New York Knicks when anything happens. And so things have continually come along. So it's been a minute for me to try and both stay true to my general process on the Knicks as a fan and as a person who, you know, quote unquote, reports on the Knicks for the HHSR network. But so I got to apologize for that. What I won't apologize for is the general disgrace that the New York Knicks have become with their latest antics. And I want to just, I mentioned that they have these various events going on, and I want to just break down what we've been going through this season. This is, and it's important to note, this is the 70th anniversary of these New York Knickerbocker basketball franchise organization, blight on humanity, whatever you want to say it is. So just the highlights of the annual Knicks controversy. We have the annual strong start out the gates, where the Knicks were both playing well at home, struggling on the road, and they had a negative point differential, but still winning games, being over 500. That was something that the analytics crowd kind of indicated as they were fugazi, as some people might say. But, you know, what matters is not how you win, but winning games. So I was kind of, as I stated on my last installation of this series, cautiously optimistic about the Knicks and their progress. And that proved, excuse my animal friends in the background, but that proved pretty prudent, because after not so much exactly when the calendar flipped, but Christmas break, Christmas time for the kids and the college students out there, that Christmas period, that was when the wheels started to fall off. So, you know, we started off strong and went poorly. After that, there's in January, this is February right now, but January just passed, you know, the calendar flipped into 2017 and the infamous Derrick Rose going AWOL on the Knicks before the game against the Pelicans kind of happened. And I've instituted a new theory of the Knicks. They're not real. I'll never trust them to be real until after Martin Luther King Day. And when the dream of a Knicks team can be good, the I Have a Dream speech will ring true for the Knicks. And I only mean the part that Republicans care about. The I Have a Dream of little white girls and little white boys sitting next to each other with their black counterparts. That's all I care about, because that's all I care about. And so, I mean, that's kind of the Martin Luther King Day game. They're always going to be on at like 12 o'clock. That's when I'll fully commit. And so Derrick Rose goes AWOL. Absolutely an indefensible event that happened in New York Knickerbockerdom. So how he was not suspended, how he was not really severely punished by the team for not showing up to work, I don't understand. It's completely unacceptable. That was what happened. That's one of the major stories. The next one, as you probably have heard, is Phil Jackson trying to piss off Carmelo Anthony, one of the best players to ever play for the Knicks, to the point where he wants to, I guess, turn off his no trade clause or renounce it or whatever the term is, so that he can be shipped off to Timbuktu or anywhere else. That's total horseshit. You want a GM or a leader to keep that kind of behavior in-house. Phil Jackson's going to Twitter like a certain Cheeto president that we have to spout off things that don't make any sense and that we better kept in house. And that's kind of the piss poor management that has completely destroyed the New York Knicks over, you know, the past almost two decades of futility. And that's something that is a theme, no matter who is in charge of the Knicks, because it all goes back to one James Dolan. And he has made headlines recently with his, not directly, but indirectly, trying to get Charles Oakley, known Knick legend, known favorite Knick of me. So I'm pretty pissed off about it because it's not right. But James Dolan, the sack of shit that he is going to try and get Charles Oakley viewed as this kind of cancerous type hanger on for the Knicks. And that's completely unacceptable, completely out of his character. And so that's something that it's really, when you get toward the core of what's wrong with the New York Knicks, it always begins and ends not with Carmelo Anthony, not with Phil Jackson, not with Derrick Rose, certainly not with Kristaps Porzingis, who is the latest victim in all of this, of young talented players that are victim to the Knicksdom. But it always begins and ends with James Dolan. And with that, I wanted to bring in a friend of mine, a guy who, whether he knows it or not, is a somewhat writing partner of mine, because many of the conversations that are the predecessors to things I put on the interwebs for your reading appreciation come from conversation with him as well as other people. I want to introduce my boy Gray. He is a lifelong Heat fan, and as such, he has a unique point of view on basketball teams that, while they don't draft well, like the Knicks, for all of the fair criticism that I'll give them, always draft well. The Knicks always draft well. The scouting department in the Knicks organization, I feel like, is literally second to none. But everything else is trash. But if you look at from an outsider's point of view, like, he'll be able to talk about from a team that does not draft well necessarily, but has managed to perfect, as far as I can tell, perfect the art of managing veteran players. And that's what the Knicks fail at dramatically. So let me introduce my boy here. Let him kind of talk about the Heat, how he views them as an organization compared to the Knicks. And then we'll kind of let the conversation flow from there. So, Gray, let me give you the mic.
What's up? I'm a lifelong Heat fan. I'm a president of the Knicks Hate Fan Club. And let's talk about the Heat. The Heat are doing everything right, except for right now. The 1 year I want them to lose to get that high draft pick, they're going ahead and on a 13-game win streak, the best in the league this year. When a year they need to tank it, they're doing everything wrong.
Well, okay, so I was going to kind of let that linger, but let's talk about the Heat there on, like you said, 13-game win streak. This is a team that they have kind of not a lot of what the mainstream basketball fan would say are really high-level basketball players, but they're winning, and winning is really all that matters. So you've got this team that I would imagine that you want them to tank this season. How do you kind of – what are your feelings on this team as with what they have that are winning as opposed to what you would expect for them to be a lost season?
Well, this season's showing that Coach Spo is doing a hell of a job as a coach. And everybody that tried to run him off after they lost the first couple championships with LeBron, they don't know what they're talking about, because he's winning with a bunch of scrubs, per se. You got the Dragic, they're winning with him. And they're winning with Whiteside, which nobody wanted. And then they're winning with Deion Waiters. Who would have thought him coming in with, I think he's averaging 22 points a game right now. I mean, he's just balling out of his mind. But none of those players that I'm talking about are bona fide superstars. So what are they going to do? No better than a sixth seed in the East? I mean, do you really want your team to be average every year, or do you want them to tank this year and, you know, get that first round pick, which could possibly put them over the top, is the problem you're having. And I mean, with they had Wade for so long, they had LeBron, they even had Shaq in the Heat right now, and they're so used to winning that mediocre seasons just aren't cutting it. I'd rather just see them tank, get that first round pick, and see what they can build from there, because you're not used to seeing them go get the sixth seed every year. That's just not what it's supposed to be about.
You bring up the quality of veteran players that the Heat have been able to bring in. You know, you mentioned LeBron, you mentioned Shaq. They did draft Wade. We talked offline earlier about Luol Deng.
The one draft pick they did well in Wade. I mean, now, we don't act like Pat Riley's a super great GM with his draft picks. He's a terrible draft pick.
You're right. He's Pat the Rat. I mean, it's a factual statement. I will give him credit. He didn't draft Alonzo Mourning, did he?
Mm-mm.
No, yeah. He didn't even draft. No, he's Pat the Rat. He's a worthless sack of crap. They don't draft well in Miami, and they are a franchise of cheaters and ragamuffins. But they know how to treat their. You know what? Who they drafted? Wait, actually, I never checked this. Did they draft Hassan Whiteside? Not Hassan Whiteside. What's the guy who's from Miami?
Udonis Haslem?
Yeah, did they draft Haslem?
Picked him up.
Wow. Okay, so they don't draft anybody good in Miami, and maybe that is a good strategy when they do so well with treating their veterans or making, quote-unquote, making Miami a good destination to play. I think that, they obviously have the benefits of the tax structure there in Florida, as well as the female population structure there in Florida. So what would you say as a that makes them a positive environment for veterans to join compared to the Knicks, who are proving themselves to be a negative environment for veteran players to join?
Well, for one, it all starts with the owner, because Mickey Arison, he gives them whatever they want. I mean, he gets Pat Riley to control to get the players he wants. He doesn't skimp on the money. Who want to live in Miami versus New York? Look at the winters out there. I mean, Miami is 70 degrees and it's December, or now it's February, and they talk about it being 75 degrees. That's one big deal. The taxes, that you brought up the taxes, that's a big deal. When you're making millions of dollars, you know, you don't want to pay $100,000 in taxes like you're going to pay in New York. I mean, all that goes into it. And now Pat Riley, he's a legend, and he has brought championships to Miami. All of it goes into it. And New York, when's the last time he did anything relevant? It's all about what have you done for me lately.
That's fair. All that is fair, actually. If you were to say you are a veteran player who has played for the team, like come up, Miami is actually kind of, now that I think about it, a bit of a unique situation because they don't have very many homegrown talents on that team, but they have a lot of veteran players. I mean, for the longest time, your trash organization had Michael Jordan's number in the rafters. So it's like, it's weird to both say that Miami is both an organization that, in a lot of ways, could be envied for the way that they treat their star players or their veteran players, but also it's interesting that they haven't had that kind of homegrown success. Like, we talked about this beforehand, the Knicks have a pattern of picking good young players in the draft that can be talents.
So, would you rather the Knicks sell you hope and getting these young players? Or would you rather, like the Heat, we're going to pick up these veterans, they're expensive, but they're going to win championships now? Would you rather have the hope for the future? Neither one of them certain, especially with the young players. You don't know what they're going to do when they get into the league, but with these proven veterans, you know what you're going to get. So would you rather the hope of the young guys or the veterans?
I would just take hope in any legitimate form as a Knicks fan. There's legitimate hope is a fleeting thing in New York. So I would take both options if possible and pay a max contract to whichever of those options has an ACL injury.
I mean, like I say, hope is a dangerous thing when it comes to sports because they will sell you these future draft picks, and if you don't have the right people picking talent, it never pans out.
Factual statement. Well, and one thing that I've mentioned a lot in writing, and it's probably as well on this podcast or other podcasts, was my theory on synergy. And that being that, kind of how you mentioned, it's a thing where you're not going to win consistently, if at all, without regular consistency and a shared vision between ownership, GM, coaching, and your star player. And you mentioned how Spoelstra, Coach Spoelstra, may have been overlooked as a coach because of the talent around him in the GM office, as well as having LeBron and Wade, two surefire Hall of Famers, Shaquille O'Neal, another Hall of Famer, and then, you know, a guy like Udonis Haslem, who's going to go down as one of the best Miami Heaters. What do you call those people in mass? Are they heat? Are they degrees?
Just the heat.
L Heat. Yes. Udonis Haslem is going to go down as one of the greatest L Heat known to man, or at least one of the most revered.
Definitely is revered. Everybody in Miami loves him. He's, you know, born and raised there. He's going to be a Miami Heat for life.
Would you say Udonis Haslem is the Charles Oakley of the Miami Heat?
It's Alonzo Mourning, but I get what you're saying.
You're right, because Alonzo Mourning is definitely not as good as Patrick Ewing. So, you know, amongst role players on great teams, Alonzo Mourning, Charles Oakley, Udonis Haslem, you know, those kinds of guys are going to be welcomed into their respective franchises, except for Charles Oakley because he belongs to the New York Knicks. Can you imagine a situation where a guy like Mourning or Haslem or, you know what, even Birdman, Chris Anderson, can you imagine a situation that involves those players not being welcomed back with red carpet or burgundy carpet for the Heat or whatever that color is? Can you imagine a situation where they would not be welcomed back in with open arms?
No, but there's also stories they don't tell. There's stories that the Miami beat writers talk about all the time about when Alonzo Mourning and Pat Riley getting into fights in practice. So there are those stories, but at least they're not going to show them out to the national media. You're not going to see that. They're not going to fight in the stands during the game. They might do it at practice, but, you know, they're not dysfunction like the Knicks.
Exactly. Exactly. They're not dysfunction like the Knicks. And my kind of view on the Knicks is if they're going to do, if there is a normal, boring, you know, perfunctory, if I'm using that word right, I'm afraid now that I'm not. I'm going to look it up later. But if there's a standard way of doing things with your kinds of players or with any situation, the Knicks are going to run super Randy Moss on a streak fast to do the opposite direction. And the Miami Heat, as much as they, I feel like they don't draft well, I don't necessarily believe that their trades are always well thought out. But they can manage the relationships in a way that the New York Knicks don't ever. And I think that, like you mentioned, like I mentioned Haslem, or you brought up Mourning, you know, those kinds of players, and Birdman too. Those kinds of players, they have a home for life in Miami. It doesn't matter if they kiss the ring of, is it Mickey Arson?
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't have to kiss the ring.
So, do you believe it's Pat Riley holding everything together as they wished Phil Jackson would? Or who do you think, how do you think it holds together in Miami?
I would think it is a combination of Pat the Rat and Mickey Arson. I think they see eye to eye on everything, and they've cemented that kind of relationship between themselves and then also with the success of Spo as a successor on the court to Pat Riley to make it work. And they can determine between amongst the three of them or their three entities who that star player is going to be in the future, whether it's Hassan Whiteside or whomever they draft with the 13th pick.
So why doesn't Dolan and Pat Riley get along with the coach? Why isn't there that trinity in New York? Why don't they get along?
Well, Dolan doesn't get along with Pat Riley because Pat Riley's a fink and a schmuck and a putz, are the things I've read about him.
Or Phil Jackson?
Okay, well, Phil Jackson, that's a whole different story.
Why doesn't Phil Jackson get along with Dolan?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and I want to make sure, because this could be an easily misunderstood thing from those who are outside, who aren't really paying close attention to the Knicks because they enjoy their sanity. But the fact of the matter is that as far as I can tell from what I read amongst the Knicks blogosphere, Phil Jackson is in total control of the New York Knicks. James Dolan is completely hands-off, as we Knicks fans have pleaded for over the years.
Dolan had some hands put on him, though, last week.
He was about to. I mean, I think it was Chris Paul who said that Charles Oakley is triple OG, and he was getting triple OG on a bunch of security guards. I made a joke earlier when we was preparing for this, and I was like, you know, it looked like Vince McMahon set up Charles Oakley in a 5-on-1 loser leaves town match, and Charles Oakley
comes out from the crowd and runs into the ring and knocks everybody out the ring.
Exactly,
like Royal Rumble.
Exactly, Charles Oakley was about to have business pick up and just lay out a bunch of Stolcone stunners on a bunch of jabronis out there. But alas, you know, I don't promote necessarily violence against security staff unless they're known Nazis. But that's what it looked like. But the thing with New York's, their hierarchy is Phil Jackson has earned the trust of James Dolan.
What did he do since he left New York or L.A. to earn trust? What has he done?
He's got 11 rings. That's all that matters.
But he has nothing in New York.
He has nothing.
How many times has New York been to the playoffs since he's been in charge?
Zero.
Yeah, so where did this trust come from?
He's got 11 rings.
That's it. It's like I said, it's what have you done for me lately?
Rings.
I mean, Miami has rings now, so I mean, I don't know.
They ain't got 11, though.
Have y'all had a ring in 11?
Hey, bro, hold on. This is my show. Okay, so the thing with Phil Jackson is that...
So would you rather have Phil Jackson or Pat Riley right now?
Can it just be an open spot?
I mean, if you could pick one, who would you rather have?
Honestly, it's got to be Phil Jackson. I could... Amongst people that I never want to see in charge of the Knicks ever again. I mean, even when like Trump makes it like nuclear Armageddon and it's just...
Are you serious?
When it's like cockroaches playing basketball and it's like the New York Knicks cockroaches, I don't want to see I don't want to see Pat Riley a part of that at all. Okay? He's Pat the Rat for life. Okay?
I mean, he is, but he's going to bring a winning ways to your franchise.
No. I'd rather lose right than win wrong.
I mean, Pat is wrong right now, so I mean, you're doing the right thing.
Hey man, I appreciate all that. Okay, you guests over here being disrespectful, but anyways, okay. Look, James Dolan has total faith in Phil Jackson as either the GOAT or the reason. He has washed his hands of any culpability of these 5-year New York Knicks. He's given Phil everything. That's why he said, ask Phil. That's his response to everything. And I get it. From his point of view, I understand it because the fans hate him. And what Phil did was try and say, okay, I've got the entire trust of my owner. I'm going to get the buy-in from my star. I'm going to give him the no trade clause so he can be all in. I'm going to hire this coach. That was Derek Fisher. That didn't work out for whatever reason. Personally, think he was fired way too early.
But the superstar is not working out now either.
The superstar is, I don't believe, the problem. I don't think that Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah were as positive additions as I hoped they would be. And
how long has Carmelo been there now?
He's been there for 7 years.
And he hasn't done anything positive with anybody around him.
False.
I'm a Dolphins fan too. That's like everybody's blaming Tannehill or blaming the receivers in Miami for Tannehill being terrible. Tannehill doesn't elevate anybody else around him the same way Carmelo's not elevating anybody else around him. I think if you take Carmelo out and put LeBron there, the Knicks are at least going to be the 4th seed in the East. At least. He needs to start elevating people around him if he wants to be a superstar status still.
You might be right. But my retort to that is, do you believe that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Carmelo Anthony?
LeBron James is going to go down as one of the greatest of all time.
Is Carmelo?
No, because Carmelo...
Then that's it.
But LeBron has just as equal or even better offensive play than LeBron. If Carmelo would step his defense up, he could be just as good as LeBron.
That's factually incorrect.
You don't think he can be just as good as LeBron?
No.
I think he can.
LeBron is a supernatural talent. That's true.
He is. That's true. But I think Carmelo could be up there with him.
I would just disagree. At least offensively, he's not that kind of a player. He's an elite scorer. That's what he's always been. I mean, at his best, he's averaged 4 or 5 assists. But that was last season. But he only did that because he had zero point guard play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's when the Knicks were at their best with Carmelo.
I would say he's, but LeBron, what does he do? He can take it to the hole, and now he's shooting more threes. But I would think Carmelo's game is more rounder on offense.
But he's not nearly as athletic. That's true.
LeBron is a creature that you've never seen before.
LeBron is either the super evolution or the super de-evolution of humanity.
Yeah.
He's not one of us. And Carmelo, you know what Carmelo's problem is? He's a human being who's really good at basketball. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not LeBron James. He's not Russell, Westbrook. Yeah, he's not that guy. He's 32 years old. He needs to jump off two legs to lay up the basketball. He is in a... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He needs to do that. Yeah.
LeBron's in a different category. But all I'm saying is Carmelo needs to start elevating the people around him.
And here's the thing.
Is that he doesn't want to give up control or his game won't allow it.
He is willing to pass the ball out of that triple threat position that people talk so badly about him. But who's the best player Carmelo Anthony has ever played with? I'll wait. Not that long, because this is not... we got time.
I have no idea.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear. Because the best player he's ever played with is either one of three people. Well, wait, you got to guess? Who is it?
I have no idea. I'm going to take it back to LeBron. Though, with them Cleveland teams, when he first came out and was taking them to the Eastern Conference Finals, who was his best player with them? Like, you can't even remember now. I mean, so...
Yeah, but I mean...
LeBron is a better player, but still, he's got to elevate the people around you.
And who's to say he's not? I mean, my thing is like this. Who is...
The Knicks are 22 and 33.
They are?
That's not... You're not elevating anybody at that level.
Do you know how many games the Knicks have won without Carmelo? I do.
How many?
Guess. It's a number. 10. It's a number they didn't invent in Europe.
10.
Nope.
Less or higher?
It's less.
Wow. Knicks are bad.
Yeah, bro. Okay. You know what? Fun fact. They didn't have zero in European history. Okay. All right. They don't win without Carmelo Anthony. So here's the thing. You can't win without Carmelo Anthony if you're the New York Knicks. You can't win much more than what you have.
Well, you can't win with him. You can't win without him. So you might as well trade him and get what you can for the future. You said you want to hope if you're not going to win with him, regardless of what you get, because you're not going to get a superstar in New York with him, so you might as well trade him and have the hope for the future like you wanted earlier.
And I'm glad you bring that up, because, I mean, let's kind of finish on this point here. I've got it in my notes here. Where do we go from here as kind of this broad topic? Of trading Carmelo Anthony. And I'm going to kind of give my thoughts on it. It's that right now, there's no space for him that makes sense. But the fact of the matter is, he's got a no-trade clause, so the conversation is moot. But he also loves being in New York. And what can, as a fan, I am a fan of the story of sports as much as the competition. What can I ask for more than a guy who wants to be where he is, even though where he is isn't great? That kind of loyalty, and sure, he's getting paid a you know, a dump truck full of money. He's got the no trade clause. He's got all the deals or whatever. But he wants to be in New York, and they can't make him leave, and he's probably reveling in it. But maybe he needs to be traded at the end of the season when the free agency landscape is a little bit different. Also, with the, you know, when the league finishes out, what's going on. But you're right, we do need to develop the future, but we're losing now. The Knicks are in a position for a top 10 draft pick. So if, let's say, something crazy happens and the Knicks get the top pick in the draft, you're adding a top pick, one of these great guards coming out, to a 32-year-old Carmelo Anthony who's still got a lot to offer to a team, to a third year where they primarily make the jump, Kristaps Porzingis, Willie Hernan Gomez, Ron Baker for whatever he's worth, Justin Holiday if you want to re-sign him, and a lot of cap space. There's options for the Knicks that include being a team on the rise with a veteran player like Carmelo Anthony.
All I know is the Heat are on a 13-game win streak, about to go to 14-9. That's
who they got tonight?
The 76ers.
Trust the process. We out.